Welcome. This is Kevin Tolley, founder of the Tolley Group, and today we will be talking about testing that Tolley conducted of the Force 10 Network's Exascale E-Series E1200i core switch router. The testing that we will be discussing today focused on power consumption in both gigabit Ethernet and 10 gigabit Ethernet line rate configurations. That testing is detailed in Tolley Report 210137. Joining me in the discussion today are Force 10 Network's Marketing VP Stephen Garrison and the project's lead engineer, John Tolley. First, let's ask John to give us a high-level summary of the testing and the results. Good morning, John.
Good morning. The tests of the Exascale E1200i were conducted in July 2010 and revolved around illustrating the energy consumption of the 14-slot switch router in both gigabit Ethernet and 10 gigabit Ethernet configurations. Power was measured with the system handling a full load of Layer 2 64-byte frames at line rate. The comparable Cisco and Juniper devices were not tested hands-on. Rather, Tolley engineers used publicly available, vendor-supplied data to estimate the power consumption of similar, functionally equivalent systems. Tolley engineers took measurements at a steady state when the chassis was loaded with an increasing number of line cards, correlating the resulting data to ensure accuracy. Once the switch was fully populated, Tolley engineers activated all ports, taking measurements when the device attained a steady state. From here, Tolley engineers connected the switch to the XM12 traffic generator with the ports in a snake configuration and began passing traffic. As the device was forwarding 64-byte layer 2 frames at line rate on all ports, the final measurement was taken and is used for all comparisons made in the document. For power consumption data, a Fluke Model 337 True RMS clamp meter was utilized to gather both voltage and current metrics. Tolley engineers measured the power consumption of the E1200i fully loaded with 14 90-port gigabit Ethernet line cards, provisioning 1,260 ports in total. In addition to two route processor modules, RPMs, and 10 switch fabric modules, SFM. Without any line cards installed, the system consumed 366 watts. Tolley engineers then populated all slots with 90-port gigabit Ethernet line cards and measured 4,091 watts, or approximately 260 watts per line card when the base chassis consumption is factored out. Finally, handling line rate 64-byte layer 2 traffic through all 1,260 ports in a snake configuration, Tolley engineers measured 6,005.4 watts. Correlating watts to gigabits per second of throughput, this measurement translates to 4.77 watts per gigabit for the 1,260 gigabit Ethernet ports. System estimates built from Cisco's power consumption figures indicate that Cisco would require approximately 9.3 watts per gigabit. Similarly, using Juniper's published data, their solution would require approximately 6.2 watts per gigabit. Line rate throughput is assumed for both Cisco and Juniper devices. Back to you.
Thanks, John. And now let me welcome Force 10 Marketing VP Steve Garrison for our question and answer segment. Steve, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Kevin. It's great to be here today.
So today, as you know, we're talking about the report focused on energy. What did Force 10 do to achieve these very, very significant results?
That's a great question, Kevin, and you're not alone in asking that. A lot of our customers want to know as well because, well, first of all, we're obviously proud of the result. And secondly, it's good old engineering. We have three areas we focused hard on to achieve these goals. One was leveraging the fact of ASIC integration and component integration, which is kind of an obvious Moore's Law trend.
Right.
So we do get a little capture from that. But the second thing is some intellectual property. We have a fully standards-based system, but inside the product, we have re-engineered the power bus.
Okay.
And we actually collaborated with some power experts around the world to ensure that we took power supplies and some of the things that are off the shelf that might be 85% efficient.
Mm-hmm.
We've kicked those up into the 90% efficiency ranges. Every percentage point counts. The third piece, Kevin, is our intellectual property around our backplane technology. We have a fully passive and scalable backplane. And this enables us to not only have no single point of failure in the device, but it also allows us to remove some power-centric issues that some of our competitors have.
Okay. So, you know, there's been a deliberate focus on optimizing power consumption, which translates into the numbers that we saw in our report.
Right, and we did this way before we were green, or the world cared about green. In fact, as you know, Force 10 is 11 years old this year, and we always wanted to break the rules in achieving more ports per square inch or rack inch, if you will, in the product. And to do that without adding power and cooling assets to the device, you have to really think differently. The more ports you squeeze into a smaller footprint, the more challenging this becomes, frankly. So we think a lot of our competitors are trying to struggle with how to achieve this kind of metric. We're just proud that we're leading, and actually we think we have the lowest number in the industry right now.
Sure. So good point. Looking back 10, 11 years ago to today, 10, 11 years ago, obviously switches used power, and no one, to my knowledge, cared about it as a buying criteria.
Yeah.
It's changed now. What are you seeing as far as the importance of the power consumption?
Yeah, it's a great question. In fact, a lot of analyst groups like IDC have some data out there that the network's anywhere from a few percent up to 10% of the actual OPEX budget for power and then cooling assets. And that number is going up. The more you virtualize, in particular in the enterprise data center, the more the power budget shifts towards the network, actually eking that number up into being a bigger and bigger piece of the OPEX budget. However, I wouldn't say that people buy gear just based on power efficiency.
Right.
But it is becoming something that, you know, as you noted, 10 years ago, no one cared.
Right.
Now it's in the short list of the top 10 things. And in the future, as we all worry about the planet, it might become one of the top three things. But I can, you know, be honest today and just say it's a differentiator. People care.
Right.
But it's not a slam dunk as a reason to buy.
Okay. And what are you seeing North America versus Europe and Asia? Where is it on the list? Does it vary by region?
Yeah, it actually varies by region and by business vertical. Let's first talk about verticals. We're seeing some of the more B2C-oriented companies that we sell to being far more keen in trying to develop either a LEEDS data center or something to achieve Energy Star rating here in the U.S. And obviously the social networking community, which we serve very strongly, it obviously wants to lead with some story around how they're enabling a green initiative for their community. We also see hosting companies who are targeting B2B plays where, again, a financial services company, for example, might want to outsource to a green data center for either carbon credit alignment or, again, just to say that in their annual report to show shareholders that they have a green initiative. We're seeing both of those as approaches. As far as the world goes, the second part of your question, mm-hmm. we definitely see Europe obviously leading in a lot of these things. They kicked off carbon credit trading and programs like that far before we have. The U.S. is starting to dabble with it. And then when you get into dense cities like Tokyo, it's just a fundamental need because power distribution there is so strained and the space availability is so strained that they've always thought about power and cooling and space as being differentiators there. So I wouldn't say the world's on the same page yet as far as how important greenness is, if you will.
Right.
But everybody gets that having more ports that are line rate in a smaller footprint to consume less power is in the right direction.
Right, good. Terrific. Last question. So we talk obviously about, you know, B2C environments, whether it's social networking, cloud services, they're always
right.
on. So certainly they want to keep the power as low as possible. But there are certainly situations, especially if we're looking at the ports that are serving up the employees in a given physical location, hopefully they're not there working 24 hours a day. And one of the best ways to conserve power is just to shut things off. Are you seeing any interest in certain types of customers interested in just shutting off ports certain times of the day?
Yeah, we are. I have to say that this is a conversation that started to come up about 2 or 3 years back when a lot of our, again, portal data center customers recognized that when the eyeballs were there, they were using 80 to 90% of their provision racks mm-hmm. and throughput. When the eyeballs weren't there, they're using 10 to 20%. And so they started to realize that, hey, if I do want to shut down racks at night and save some power, I can. Then we had to walk through the religion of how do we do that? How do we ensure that the switch comes back up? And actually, one of the funny things is they also have a lot of religion around the server actually stopping. So IT professionals are so used to turning it on and leaving it on that there's been about 20 years of it's almost embedded fear, which is kind of interesting. One of the things, you know, not important for the call, but I'll just throw it out there. I started out in the industry in disk drive manufacturing, and it turns out that disk drives and servers go through a start-stop test. So switches as well, we don't do that. But, you know, there is an on-off switch on the product for a reason. We do believe our products can be turned on and then turned back off and subsequently like a light switch. The only question is, you know, just protocol stack aligning to the network fabric and the conditions, but, you know, that happens within minutes. And this plays into just the whole automation strategy that we've rolled out this year, that we do have the ability through CLI, SNMPR, what we call our smart scripts, Perl and Python scripting tools, to have IT managers build in a database that says at 9 o'clock, once traffic threshold is decreased to a certain point, move the workloads over to other racks and turn these five racks down. That's totally doable today with Force 10. Is anybody doing that? No, but we do have people very keenly looking at doing that in the next 12 months.
Good. Well, it's good to see it's all coming together. It's a good place to start having very efficient power usage, and then layering on top of that, you know, the automation and being able to give the control to the those in charge of the network. It's all heading in the right direction. So, Steve, any final thoughts before we wrap up?
No, it's just as always, Kevin, it's been great to work with the Tully Group and Ixia on this testing, and we're really proud, again, that you've helped us show that the number we've been throwing out for quite some time, 34 watts per 10 gigabit port, has actually been validated, and it shows that we are best of breed in the community. So that's fantastic. Thanks again.
There you go. Okay, Steve, thanks. Thanks so much for joining us today. As we close, I'd like to remind our listeners that the full details of the test discussed today are found in Tully Document 210137, which can be downloaded from both www.tully.com and force10networks.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and goodbye for now.